In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Matthew, the 15th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is simply unthinkable that our Lord would deny the Syrophoenician woman's request. She doesn't ask for anything but that which he has already promised to give. She's not asking for a nicer house, or for a better, more comfortable life, or even for simple physical well-being or healing. Her daughter is possessed by a demon. She is in the clutches of Satan. And knowing this, the believing mother comes to the Lord of life and she prays, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She's not looking for a miracle worker who can make her daughter better. She's looking for the one who is stronger than the demons, for the one who can save her daughter. Now I ask you, was there ever so pure and noble of a request as that of the Syrophoenician woman? Notice that she even comes confessing Jesus of Nazareth, that he is the Son of David, the Messiah. She recognizes him. This is the content and goal of all his preaching. Indeed, the content and goal of the preaching of Saint John John the Baptist and all of the Old Testament and New Testament, even your pastor. She is a better student than the disciples. But still, he seems to ignore her. She's in great anguish and suffering. She has faith. But he answers her not a word. Still, she clings to him. Her prayer does not cease. She does not give up. She does not throw in the towel. She does not walk away. She knows who the Messiah is to be, and she knows what the Messiah is to do. She will not be turned from her course. She holds to God's word and his promises. So much so that the disciples grow weary of it and urge our Lord to answer her prayer and send her away already. She's an embarrassment. But there is another obstacle. She's not ethnically pure. That is, she's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She has no claim and no standing on him. Her blood is not that of the blood of Abraham. And in one of the harshest sayings to ever pass our Lord's lips, he brutally declares, "I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now what? Will she hang her head? Will she go home? Will she walk away? Will she become angry and self-righteous in the face of this racial slur? Is this her excuse for open rebellion and rejection of God? The world would be proud of her if she did. But no. Instead, these very words urge her on. They drive her toward the Lord. These harsh words cause her to worship him. The seeming racist, callous remarks are the very words that sent her to her knees. In the face of this, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," she worships him. It drives her deeper into her hope and trust, into her faith. She will not release her grip upon the word, no matter how foolish or stupid it may seem, no matter what is tossed at her. She believes that this Jesus is good, and she will not give up. Her prayer rises forth again, "Lord, help me." And still, after all of this, he does not yield. He replies, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He calls her a dog. A dog! Imagine. He is not very politically correct, or even very winsome for that matter. I'd like to see this approach taught in evangelism seminars. I'm not kidding. For this is the law in all its severity, and it is necessary. For without the law there is no gospel, and without the gospel there is no salvation. Evangelization that fails to preach the law preaches nothing. Hear the truth, O sinner. You and I have absolutely no right to sit at God's table. Approach him at your peril. He owes you nothing except that of the wages of your sin, which is death. Do not think that he likes you or that he's impressed by you or your good intentions. You, like me, like the Syrophoenician woman, are a dog. You have behaved despicably and shamefully. Unwholesome speech, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, idolatry, slander, gossip, pride, arrogance, false assumptions, false accusations, coveting, deceit, lust, greed, lies, malice, hatred, envy, jealousy, rage, and selfishness. You and I are disgusting. He says, I gave you everything, and yet you rebelled and have gone whoring after other gods. What do you say to that? Well, there's really only two ways to respond. You can get mad. You can become defensive and you can deny it. That is, you can become self-righteous and say, that's not the kind of God I want. How dare you tell me that I am a sinner who deserves death? I need my sin more than I need God. He can't talk to me that way. You can't talk to me that way. Who does he think he is? Who do you think you are? Don't give me all that talk of the Bible and the stuff about sin and hell and repentance. You can vainly proclaim, I'll show you God. I'll cut myself off. I'll throw a temper tantrum. I'll go to hell rather than worship you. You can do that. And if you do, the demons will do what passes in hell for rejoicing. And sooner than you think, you will join them. That's one way. It's a common way. A common way of responding to the law. But there is another. You can give the holy angels in heaven cause for true rejoicing. You can repent. Repentance is the admission that the law is true, that it is valid, and that it is good and right. It is a confession. Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I wish it were not so. It's not what I want. It's not what I'm trying to strive for. But the fact of the matter is I fail miserably, and I am guilty, and I am ashamed. That's the first half of repentance. Admission. Sorrow. The second half is trust in God's mercy. Without the second half of repentance, we would only have sorrow and despair. Only self-pity. And so the confession continues. Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I have no merit or worthiness in me or of myself. But I believe that you are merciful, and I believe that you are kind, that you are forgiving and loving, gracious, even as you are strict and unbending. And I believe that for Jesus' sake, you declare me righteous and holy, that Jesus has suffered for me, that Jesus has bled and died for me, that he rose again for me, that in Jesus you forgive me all my sins, that I, a lost and condemned person, have been redeemed from sin, death, and the devil by the precious blood of Jesus given and shed for me. It is only by your grace, by your love, by your sovereign choice, and by your mercy. You are my God, and you are my Lord. That's the response of the Syrophoenician woman. She throws herself upon Jesus' word, even when it is a harsh word. She embraces it. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She says, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I am unworthy to stand before you. I am a sinner, and I come not on my merits. I come instead by your word and by your command, for your grace and for your mercy. For I know that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that you are eager to forgive, and that you have entered this fallen world. You have taken on my nature. You have taken on my flesh to save me and to save my daughter. I know that the Son of David comes to seek and to save the lost. And when he finds them, he makes them part of his true Israel, in whom there is no guile. I know that but a crumb, the most meager of gifts from your table, is my very salvation. It is enough. Yes, Lord, treat me as a dog. Put me on your lap. Scratch my ears. Feed me. Wash me. Love me. Save my daughter." And he does. From that very hour, her daughter is saved. Her mother is a hero of faith like this world has seldom seen. Thus, we see what faith is and how faith lives. It's not an opinion based upon an observation of facts, reason, or senses. It's not a vague hope in some ambiguous future or being. It's not an emotional stirring that comes from what you are hearing in the way that you're hearing it said to you here in church today, or the notes that Kurt or Carla play on the organ. No. It's none of this. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Know this. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not torturing or tempting this dear woman. He was exercising her faith, strengthening her, teaching her to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God and not by appearances. He did her a great service in her suffering. He drew her closer to himself. In the end, he relented. He gave her more than she requested. Not only is her daughter saved, but she is also given a great, strong, living faith and recorded as an inspiration for the church forevermore. The devil and his demons are still prowling around like roaring lions looking for someone to devour. They will not be overcome by educational programs, by better parenting, or by more police action. There is a supernatural evil that is beyond all these things. The heart of man is dark, black, and fraught with sin. And so there is only one solution. The suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is stronger than sin, who is stronger than death, who is stronger than the devil himself. He is the one who can take the hearts of stone that we have and turn them into hearts of flesh, hearts that love him and serve one another, just as our Lord Jesus Christ has served us in love by giving his life unto death for us on the cross. Let us pray for our friends, for our family, for our children, to the Son of David with no less zeal than the Syrophoenician woman. Let us pray for mercy. Let us trust that he will deliver it and that he will hasten the end. He did not ignore the Syrophoenician woman. Neither does he ignore your prayers. In Christ Jesus our Lord, he hears them. He gladly answers them. He came for dogs like you and like me, who could not stand on their own. He came to pay your ransom, to liberate you from the demons, to heal your wounds, to bind up your broken hearts, and to make you alive once again. He takes away your guilt, your shame, and your regret. And he replaces it with his righteousness, holiness, and innocence. And this day, again, he invites you to his table as the true Israel. In us, he has raised up sons and daughters of Abraham with the faith and hope of Abraham. Dogs no more. Forgiven, renewed, sanctified, and blessed children of the living God, marked with the cross both on our forehead and on our hearts, marked by Jesus, so that we may be one redeemed by him, Christ the crucified. And he blesses us by giving us more than meager crumbs, more than a dog's portion. He gives us himself, his body and his blood. He enters into us by way of the mouth, purifying his temple, cleansing us for holy deeds, strengthening and nourishing us by his blessed flesh. Jesus is merciful. He is loving. He is forgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Amen.